It's a pretty good looking day out there Tuesday as we get going into Thanksgiving Eve tomorrow and Thanksgiving Thursday. We got a nice weather day today to start. However, as the day goes on and we get into the day, we're going to be looking at some, let's just say a mixed precipitation system moving in tonight into tomorrow. So tonight and tomorrow, a little messy depending where you are. And that means I think a lot of people will be on the road today, jump-starting, getting there early on this Tuesday. We are live at the Auto Fair Honda location in Manchester across the Mall, New Hampshire, celebrating our 15th anniversary, our New Hampshire State Police segment each week brought to you by Auto Fair. And really, it's been a tough few days for the law enforcement family and community in the Granite State, starting Friday at the Concord State Hospital, where we've dedicated the show in part today with some of the colleagues here at live at Auto Fair Honda of former Franklin Police Chief Bradley Haas, who was killed in the line of duty after doing his job there Friday afternoon, and he'd also served in the country for the country as a veteran. So to the Haas family, and we heard very nicely from Russ Conte and others here remembering him, as he said, he was just a quiet professional who did his job, and he was doing it Friday afternoon. So thoughts and prayers to the Haas family. And but then again, over at Manchester over the weekend, there was another serious situation where law enforcement was called. And then early yesterday morning, unrelated in Franklin, New Hampshire SWAT team had to respond, a barricaded individual. So we are reminded, whether you're on the highway and you see an overturned vehicle or in an accident, you see those blue lights. Too many troopers have been hit just doing stops because people are distracted and fail to move over. And so the family of law enforcement and public safety, local police, EMTs, firefighters, first responders, and the state police family, we're celebrating that on this Tuesday because sometimes it's good to take a moment, even when there's tough news out there, to remember those people who selflessly serve. And it's 15th anniversary, so we are delighted to be doing this here. I want to bring in a newsmaker now and bring in U.S. Senator Gene Shaheen live. Good morning, New Hampshire, the Pulse of NH. Senator, thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning.
Well, good morning, Jack, and thank you for recognizing the public commitment and service of all of our members of law enforcement, and particularly for Chief Haas, former Franklin chief, who gave his life trying to protect people so that others weren't injured. And without him and without the quick response of our state police, that situation could have been much worse at New Hampshire Hospital. So it is, as you say, a really good reminder of how much we all benefit from the work of our law enforcement, our first responders, those people who are there to protect us.
Senator, you just said something that was interesting that was pointed out in the last hour with our members of the New Hampshire State Police. As tough as Friday was, and it was, and it's a populated area, as you know, near the state hospital and with the loss to the Haas family, but the actions of the chief and the state police, that situation could have been so much worse with more loss of lives. So, again, it's a reminder of our law enforcement folks who can keep us safe. Senator, switching gears while I have you, I'd be remiss, and happy pre-Thanksgiving to you and your family. We have two wars in the world right now, as we know, and a lot of it has been it's been on our thoughts and minds here. But you recently, fellow lawmakers, participated in something that I wanted maybe you could talk about. It's the 15th annual, ironically, 15th annual here, our 15th annual state police segment, Halifax International Security Forum. But you had a chance to talk with many of our allies, with other leaders, about the two wars currently in the Ukraine, as well as the war between Israel and Hamas. What are your just some of the takeaways and how we support those two missions?
Well, thank you. I was proud to co-lead a bipartisan, bicameral delegation to Halifax with my co-lead, Senator Jim Risch, who's from Idaho and who is the top Republican on the Foreign Relations Committee. I think it's really important, particularly at a time like this when we do have wars going on in Ukraine and the Middle East, to have a bipartisan delegation from Congress who can express our reassurance to people that we're working together in Congress to try and address the challenges that we face, to try and ensure that We have support for Ukraine in this ongoing, unprovoked war by Russia. Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine. We need to continue to support the courageous Ukrainians in this fight, and also the fight against Hamas terrorists in the Middle East. And so I think it was important for us to be there. We had an opportunity to engage, particularly with our Canadian counterparts. Canada's our big neighbor to the north, our friend and ally. And so it's, and in New Hampshire, where we border Canada and have a lot of New Hampshire citizens who have family in Quebec and other parts of Canada, it's important to remind people just how critical this relationship is.
Senator, real quickly, just because it is a Tuesday, people are traveling, but, you know, these situations remain fluid. Ukraine's not a NATO ally. They want to be, but they're not yet because of the war situation. But NATO countries are around that area. I worry in the Middle East, you have Israel, the war with Hamas terrorists, and my concern there, of course, we have carrier forces there, we have troops there. But that's a very tenuous situation, and we know there may be, and I don't know this morning if we're going to see a ceasefire with more hostages released, but you worry about other forces in the region taking advantage of that situation in the Middle East. It might, in terms of a volatile situation.
Well, that's right. There is the potential, given Iran's support, not just for Hamas, but for Hezbollah and Lebanon, for the Houthis in Yemen, for militias in Iraq. There is the potential for that conflict to spread. That's one reason I think that the president has taken action to send our carrier strike group into the Mediterranean. Two of those to increase troop levels. We're seeing our troops in Syria and Iraq being fired on, increasing numbers of times, and some injuries among our troops. So it's very important for us to do everything we can to prevent this conflict from spreading.
And here at home, are you surprised at times with some of the anti-Semitism we've seen on college campuses, or is that something that, regrettably, there's free speech, and I understand that. We want open and free speech for all, but sometimes these cases where the anti-Semitism has been rather clear, does it surprise or concern you?
It does concern me, and I think we all need to take a very strong stand, not just against anti-Semitism, which is at its greatest extent, really, I think, since in my lifetime that we're seeing in the country, also against Islamophobia, attacks on Muslims as well in the country, and really to take a stand against hate in general. We need to figure out how we can talk to each other, how we can respect our differences, and to let people know, particularly young people, know that it's unacceptable to attack others just because they may be a different religion or from a different place.
Yep.
So
right.
It is very important.
Senator, I hope you get home and get home. I know you have a big family, and happy, healthy Thanksgiving wishes to you. And thanks for joining us, U.S. Senator Jean Shaheen.
Well, thanks, Jack. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone listening. And let's hope the world, we can calm down some of these conflicts in the world so that people can look to a more peaceful new year.
Thank you, Senator. Make it a good one.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Right, we come back. Governor Chris Sununu live, Auto Fair Honda in Manchester, as we really celebrate 15 years of our New Hampshire State Police segment. Talk about public safety. The governor of the state on deck next. Governor Chris Sununu just rolled into Auto Fair Honda in Manchester, where we're doing our special broadcast with the members, commanders in the past who helped start this segment 15 years ago, talking about the work of the men and women of public safety. And the governor, CJ, you being a veteran, was just next door supporting the Toys for Tots campaign with the U.S. Marines. So we appreciate Governor Sununu to come by and supporting this. An important few days, really, since what happened Friday afternoon at the Concord State Hospital, to remember the dangers of this profession and the importance.
It's 24/7. These individuals, whether you're a state trooper, whether you're a security officer, or any first responders that are rushing into mental health situations, whatever it is, so many folks just put themselves on the line. They're strangers. We don't know their name. They don't ask for thanks so often. But at the end of the day, I mean, so much of the success we have in the state is because of public safety, because we support it, they support us, it's a community endeavor. When there's a crisis, there's a shoulder to lean on. When you need an extra helping hand, there's somebody there to do it. And look, for the most part, it works really, really well. And obviously, we had a terrible tragedy last Friday with Brad's passing. But there's just another great example of Brad Haas stood up, and without him, more people have died. You know, he risked his life. He put himself right in harm's way, and he was on that front line. And the state trooper acted appropriately. And, you know, while the crisis was happening, I was here in Concord. I was at the state house. The call came in, and just police car after police car after police car rushing down
close.
There. We're right there. Yeah. So they were all rushing down there. And, you know, everyone said no one hesitated. Zero hesitation from anybody. They all ran in dead ran in and said, you know, to assess the situation. And that's what you love to see, just knowing that they're there. And it didn't work out for Brad. That's just a terrible tragedy. But to the word you started with, gratitude, right? Gratitude is not a Thanksgiving thing. It is not a Christmas thing. It is a 365-day-a-year thing.
Permission to be candid, sir.
Yes.
My show. You're not running for office right now.
No.
Or, again, you're serving as governor. I just have to say, because I don't think people – you know, we've got to count our blessings. I don't think people realize, I know it's your job, but just a few weeks ago, you were supporting our Caring and Sharing food drive for 26 charities. Last week, the Veterans Town Hall. Today, you were over at the Toys for Tots, and you're here today for the law enforcement. You get around. You have a lot of energy. And I don't know if people thank you for that, but I do, because I think it makes the state better. You're engaged. You care. In all due respect, I don't think a lot of people view people in all the political offices of the land that tuned in, that connected, that energized.
Too many folks, and I would agree with that. Too many folks do it for the wrong reasons. But look, that's why I love being governor.
You're from the state. You grew up here.
Yeah,
you love it. You care about it. We're not here to do a reflective interview, but at this stage, I mean, you just dropped a people. You sit on the show, so I'll say it and thank you for your service. You just dropped a one of your kids off to one of our branches in the military to serve. That's amazing to me. I worry, Governor, that a lot of young people don't look at the fabric of public service the way they should.
Of course, you know,
in terms of law enforcement,
EMTs,
firefighters, Army, Marines, Navy, Air Coast Guard, you name it. How do we get people, younger people, to focus more on serving and giving back?
Yeah, so look, a lot of us more, especially on the conservative side or whatever, we see what's happening in our universities. And, you know, you see these protests that are just so misguided and all this stuff, supporting Hamas and all this horrible stuff. At the end of the day, whether you're talking about those types of issues or not supporting the blue, not supporting law enforcement and state and local police, or not supporting and wanting to be part and appreciating what the military is, I take it on us, my generation. I 100% take it on us as parents, as community leaders. Like, where could we have done better in terms of the messaging? What did we take for granted where we didn't instill enough of the right ideals? And I take that very sincerely as a parent. And no one's perfect, of course. But I think generationally, you can say, oh, the kids are screwing up. They're kids. They're young adults.
Yeah.
Historically speaking, they always are a little, you know, a little idealistic without, you know, the best of groundings. But for my generation, I'm nearly 50 years old. What else can we do to keep instilling that?
Parents,
not forget, as parents.
So
as community leaders.
This,
yeah.
I had said to Governor Christie at our town hall last week, I didn't know this as governor. He was on the board just kind of automatically at Princeton University. And he was talking about his concern in colleges. But he said parents have a responsibility. If they're not going to teach the students who bombed Pearl Harbor or Normandy or Easy Company in World War II and Hitler, we have an obligation.
Of course we do. You can't look, they're effectively kids, and these are their first years as young adults. That is 100%. I say not just we have the responsibility. We have the primary responsibility of setting that tone, setting the goals. Your kids might not agree with you.
Yep.
By the way, if your kids completely agree with you, two things are going on. Either you are completely disconnected from your kids or there's something else really wrong there. But so it's not about having them agree, but understand the foundations, you know, so here's one for you. I was watching Band of Brothers. You know,
yes.
I've seen this. It's just an amazing series.
And I just did 2 weeks ago. Every episode.
When they came
up to the concentration
camp. I don't know if it's a Veterans Day thing or what, but I just kind of get this itch. So I started rewatching it, and my daughter's watching. And she had never seen it. And she started asking questions. And, well, what is this? Is another war thing? I said, no, it's different. It's not just this is not superhero stuff. This is real superheroes, right? And as you know, Band of Brothers is one of the most real tellings, one of the most authentic tellings of what really happened.
Easy Company, ironically. Yeah.
Right? Exactly. So I said, okay, this is a moment. Don't just say, oh, yeah, this is something I'm watching. what is this, and try to, you know, talk about, not that she agrees with everything or whatever the, you know, we got into the fundamentals of World War II and how it all happened. Yeah. It was great. But those are, my point is this, as a parent, there's always those moments. I know I'm governor, I'm here as governor, but I'm always a dad first. I always want to be a parent and an example, right? So what example are we setting? You know, and I think overall in New Hampshire, we actually do it really well. I got to be honest. I think we do it better than most anybody. But nationally, obviously, you see some deterioration there.
Governor Chris Sununu live, Auto Fair Honda Manchester, supporting our really supportive law enforcement. Let me ask you this, because you're on the national media a lot. They'll ask you about Trump and Biden and the primary, and I'm gonna put that off for a minute. We're going into Thanksgiving. Again, maybe I'm reflective because of some of the folks. We just had the Hall of Famers here, 100 years of law enforcement before
That's
you.
That's awesome.
I guess my question is, people may not know this too. You, big part of your governorship was during the most surreal period of, you know, the world, if you will, when all the COVID stuff happened. You had to navigate that. People may forget. I don't. You had a health scare. We all do.
Yeah, sure.
It's probably been a whirlwind for you for 4 terms. So as you go into the holidays, I'm just curious, you know, what are your reflections thus far on the job as governor? What are the takeaways? What are the kind of the highlights,
if you
will?
And that's a great question, because I'll tell you, of all the holidays, this is the one where my family and I do the least, right? We just sit and we spend time together, and it's quiet. We go away. It's just Valerie, me, and the kids. And we're at the court. Calvin won't be with us this year because he's down on Paris Island. But you know, the four of us go away for 4 days up into the mountains, into your old neck of the woods, with our old friend Chris Elms, and do a lot of nothing. So the hard part is I don't reflect enough because the job is 24/7. People ask me that all the time, and I think, well, look, I got another year, and by the way, I'm on, as you mentioned, I'm always on the go. So maybe this weekend, to be honest, would be the first time.
At some point, it's got to hit you. At some point.
It hasn't yet. Yeah. You know, I got one of those little computers, a little book, and I started writing. I'm not a good writer. I'm a math guy, right? I don't do so good with words sometimes. I'm not like Trump, who uses big words. He uses the best words. So I started putting some ideas on paper. And at the end of the day, it keeps coming back to being a dad and being an example as a dad. And as you said, today it's about law enforcement. It's about the sacrifice folks make and not forgetting that. But it's also about the bigger picture, too. We're not just where we are and what have I accomplished. That's easy. Where are we going in 10, 20 years? Everything I do, I try to think long term, and I hope I'm setting a good tone. I don't know. The feedback's been positive for the most part.
But at one point along the way, you know, you were seriously considered as a possible U.S. Senate candidate and a presidential candidate. And then you look at Washington, speaking to young people. You look at the selfishness sometimes, the bickering down there. And how can young people look to that body of Congress or Washington that it's working? And how do we improve the civil discourse so that if someone meets someone in public service, they go, thank you, versus, hey, did you steal something?
Yeah.
Not you in this case, of course, but I'm talking nationally.
Civil discourse can be hard. And that's why we have to work hard at it. You know what I mean? And so sometimes we're always looking for the easiest way. We become a nation where, you know, we have wealth and there's opportunity and all of this, but we become lazy with it, right? Gratitude is something that we talk about. Empathy is something that we talk about. Understanding another person's point of view, we talk about it, but do we practice it? That takes effort.
Yeah.
So, again, I go to our generation. Like, I don't know, I'm 49. What are you? You're like 39 or something, Jack. You're almost 40. I know. I got
10 and a couple on you.
So what example are we setting? And I don't mean to be preachy like that, but I really think it's not easy. Go out of your way to set a better example. Go out of your way to swallow those, you know, the spiteful things that you want to say. Now, we're from New England, right? So we all like to bust balls. I mean, I don't know if I can say that right, but that's just the way it is, right?
J-Dog didn't cut you off.
We all have some sarcasm and irony and all that. But at the end of the day, it's really about what is the true tone we're setting, and are we really being open to the right ideas?
Now, we have these people out there that listen to my show, like a Kevin Landrigan or a Michael Graham and others. So
would they get their stories if not listening to your show, Jack?
Let me just do my job for a moment. Why do I get the feeling, and I do hope you get some – and I have a pretty good memory. You might be one of the few governors that actually can bake a pretty good pie.
I'm a good pie maker.
I love to cook, but baking is a little bit out of my my wheels. Let me ask you this. I get a feeling you maybe – hopefully you get a good, healthy break.
Yep.
Thanksgiving, but I know you're always on. I guess the question is, why do I get the feeling – that you're going to come back after Thanksgiving and maybe make an endorsement in the presidential primary and maybe affect some primary history? Is there a chance that we could be seeing that?
No, there's no doubt. I'll be endorsing someone. I don't think it'll be
probably
right
a governor.
After.
you would say?
It'll undoubtedly be a governor. Yeah, look, there's three real candidates in this race at this point. They're all governors. They're all really good people. But it's really about who can really hold the torch and carry it, not just through New Hampshire, but to other states, who can really be the best leader for this country and galvanize not just the party, but the whole country together.
So when I was starting out, I had met your dad as governor, and I remember a role he played in a primary. Let me ask you this question before we go to break. You and I have said on this show before that you're not so sure on the Democrat side if things are going to be as they are right now. But it's all about Biden, Trump. Trump, Biden. That's the national news.
Mm-hmm.
And they always think they know what's going to happen in Iowa or New Hampshire, especially New Hampshire. And I always see a surprise. I've seen over the years where I remember when O'Reilly had his show, and I'm doing the show from the Bedford Village, and he said, hey, Hillary Clinton's going to win up there, right? Or, Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
I go, no.
Yeah.
New Hampshire likes to send a surprise. Why do I get the feeling that even between now and January 23rd,
oh,
in the Republican
move.
Primary, we could see a different
this is going to be a huge
a change. Do you agree with me or not?
Oh, without a doubt. Look, it's 9 weeks. That's a lifetime politically in New Hampshire. There's going to be a lot of movement, and even more than usual. And I'll tell you why. Because the whole campaign has been delayed, right? So usually I think people in December will figure out who they're going with. I think it could be as late as January. It really could in New Hampshire, where a lot of numbers are going to start moving. I think one of these candidates is going to really catch fire versus Trump and really give him a run on the presidential
primary. So you don't think he has a lock and that this
– Oh, God, no. No, absolutely not. And you know what? If his team thinks they have a lock, they're in trouble. I mean, they really are. No one's putting a great ground game together yet, but I think that's going to happen. I think there's a more New Hampshire-centric message that still has yet
and
to emerge.
And independents can play in this Republican primary.
And tell me the independents that are going to just sit on the sideline and say, yeah, I think Trump's going to win and that's okay. They're not going to accept that. They're going to come out in record numbers to support any number of candidates.
And did Joe Biden and the DNC make a mistake by not playing in New Hampshire?
Monstrous. Monstrous. And they know it. And they're panicked about it. So you have the sitting incumbent president that might not win the primary here? Holy cow. A sitting incumbent president that just had the oldest president in the history of this country that doesn't have all of his wits about him at moments. I mean, that's just fair to say. Physically isn't there. Imagine what that's going to be next May and June. Forget about it. The DNC is not going to let that stand. He's going to, I think, have the right sense to step aside.
You think he's not going to be the nominee?
Not going to be the nominee. Nope.
All right. Governor Chris Sununu, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, thank you, man. And a big thanks to, I mean, what we're really here for, public safety, law enforcement, state and local police.
You're the one who stopped by. Yeah. Thank you, and thank you for supporting the Toys for Tots and the Marines. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Happy
keep doing it.
Live at Auto Fair Honda. I can't believe it, CJ. We're coming up to that time before we say goodbye to our friends here at Auto Fair Honda, Jason LaCroix and the team, and Deb, thank you for her desk. We appreciate Senator Shaheen checking in, as well as Governor Chris Sununu coming by in person and spending the time with us to remember and honor members of the New Hampshire State Police and all police and law enforcement, public safety, first responders. It's really one big family. And Jason LaCroix, head of Auto Fair, it's been a fun morning and gratifying to see so many wonderful people stop and pause and thank those who give a little more.
Yeah, it's really been great having you here.
What, go ahead.
I said it's been great having you here.
Well, and again, Governor Sununu, nice to come in. You know, you and I were just commenting for a moment, politics aside. I don't think, well, you do, and I think maybe I do, but a lot of people don't realize not all states can a governor just roll in like that and just talk with people like in the showroom here and be genuine. Not saying that governors aren't good people in other states, but it's just a whole different ball game, like in New Jersey or California. It's just not like that. I mean, there's a wall, there's an entourage. You don't get to talk to the person.
This is a fantastic state. I absolutely love it, and it's really important to me to keep New Hampshire, New Hampshire.
Well, and that's what, you know, again, while we try and have some traditions like this segment. But, Jason, we're going to bring in retired Major John, I believe. It's Ben Bagnardi with the American Association of State Troopers. Major, thank you very much. We just had some folks you know here from the Major and Commander and Colonel side. Thanks for being with us.
No, thank you very much. I'm delighted to congratulate everybody involved. You know, Auto Fair, you, and then New Hampshire State Police on having such a great working relationship for so long. That's pretty unheard of.
Well, I think, Major and Jason, Amber with the state police, we did some quick research. Of all the states, you think Texas is a big state, Florida, there'd be some network of stations that did a weekly segment on public safety. There's no regular show. We've been doing it 15 years.
No, I was a former public affairs officer for the Florida Highway Patrol in South Florida. And I got to do a cable TV show for for a little bit, but it didn't last anywhere close to what you guys have been doing up there. That's just, it's like I said, it's remarkable.
Now, where's home to you, sir?
I'm originally from upstate New York, but been here in Florida for 43 years.
I appreciate it. What part of Florida?
I'm in Tallahassee, which is our state capital now.
Sure.
But have served throughout the state in my 37 years with the Florida Highway Patrol.
Well, we sometimes see a certain Florida governor up here in New Hampshire named DeSantis running for president. Hey, let me ask you this, Major. Amber has a note here. I just want to ask you some details. I'm just going to read what you, I coach well. How to order the 2024 Best Looking Cruiser Contest Calendar with the New Hampshire State Police. How can we get, by the way, we have the best uniforms and the best cruisers, Major. I'm just telling you.
I don't know. They are pretty darn good. But, you know, Florida took top notch this year, so they really tried real hard. Our communications section did a great job, as all the states did. And to answer your question, you can go to our website or call the office, and our website is statetroopers.org, O-R-G. And there will be a link that you can order the calendar, and New Hampshire is a part of that calendar.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
And has been for a number of years. This is our 10th year of doing the calendar. And with that, the calendar sales, any profit that we make goes towards our scholarship foundation. And that foundation funds higher education scholarships for troopers' dependents.
Awesome.
And we're really proud of that program. We have updating our numbers from this year. We gave out 140 scholarships totaling $105,500, and that brings our total since we've been doing the program to over $3.2 million in scholarships to awarded to troopers' children.
Awesome.
So we're real proud of that, and the calendar is one of those ways of funding that. Of course, we have corporate sponsors and good citizens that support us, and the calendar just started really out as a fun event. And if you get an opportunity, go to our Facebook page and American Association of State Troopers and look at the banter between the states this year. it was a riot to read every day.
Well, we need to laugh. Hey, Major, one more time, if people want to order the calendar, best way is?
Statetroopers.org.
Statetroopers.org. Well, thank
you. Big picture right on there, and you can just click on it, and it'll take you to a link to order the calendar. We pay for the shipping. It's only $10, and it's a very, very good quality calendar, and we're doing that to really promote all the state agencies.
Thank you, Major. Have a great Thanksgiving in Florida. We appreciate you joining us. Good Morning, New Hampshire, the pulse of an age, really just commemorating 15 years of talking about public safety. Thank you.
Again, congratulations, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. Jason, stay with us. Jason, of course, head of Auto Fair, and we have the commissioner of all public safety joining us right now, GMI Studio Line, and he's Commissioner Bob or Robert Quinn. He's also a former colonel. Commissioner, you've had a great team here today, starting with your colonel, Mark Hall, a couple former majors and captains that got this segment started, and Jason LaCroix hosting us here, Auto Fair, Honda Auto Fair sponsor of our state police segment. Commissioner, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, thank you, and I can't say how proud I am of our team and really the whole New Hampshire law enforcement, first responder community, police, fire, EMS. It really is one big team. But today the most important thing I want to do is thank you, thank Jack, thank Auto Fair, thank everyone involved who supported us and allowed us to really educate the public, let them know who we are, what we do, and some of the challenges. So we all understand that we're trying to get to be the safest state, and again, I don't think there's anything that's been more important than what you've done for the last 15 years, and I can't thank you all enough.
Well, Commissioner, real quick, we had Senator Shaheen on earlier, and the governor was just here. remembering Chief Haas, because Friday was a tough afternoon at the state hospital. You know that the chief may well, in fact, doing his job, and may have saved a lot of lives. Your state trooper certainly did. But Chief Haas served the country as a veteran, former Franklin chief, and then, of course, doing his job on Friday, killed in the line of duty. Just any comments as commissioner on Chief Haas for his family?
Well, again, I think it's been said, and I'll say it again. I think we will show that his role there, his presence, he was there to protect and to continue to serve like he did for 30 years in the police department and in the U.S. Army. In the end, unfortunately, he gave his life. And I consider him a hero, and everyone involved in this that prevented further loss of life. So, you know, my heart goes out to everyone that's been impacted, his family. And again, I just say there's nothing more to say than he's a hero.
Well, Commissioner Robert Quinn, I want to thank you for what you do. And, you know, it's interesting in the last segment, Commissioner, when the governor, before the governor came here to Auto Fair Honda in Manchester, I had some good friends of yours, former Major Conti, who we got this going with, still working with the department on the mental health side. We had former, I believe, captain at the time, Armaganian, and former Major John Marasco, all together in one segment. And it dawned on me, the point of the show wasn't this, but it dawned on me, I was the one thanking them. They're like three Hall of Famers. It was 100 years of law enforcement service, and they're still working, sitting at that table with those three.
Right, and if you really look back to when it all started, I think no one ever realized that this would go on and on, but it really is important for the public to just understand that we're all human. They're the most compassionate, caring, dedicated people, and there are just things that are challenging and hard, but you know, in the end, somebody said it, we're one team when the bell rings, and we're very fortunate in New Hampshire. And all the first responders, they take it serious. Again, it's 24-7. And it's also, you know, the dispatchers, the telecommunicators, the civilians that keep it all going. There's a big team behind it, and people care for one each other. It really is a law enforcement family. I mean, if you looked at who showed up last night for the vigil, they came from all corners, and because they care. But, you know, after the vigil's over, they're working last night. They're working through the night, today, through holiday, through Christmas, and it doesn't stop. But they do it because they love it, and, you know, it's an honor to really play a small part in it and to see, to watch just how good they are.
Commissioner Quinn, thank you. Best of Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thank you for your service as well. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, same to you. Okay, bye.
All right, Jason, before we'll wrap it up in a moment with some news, but thank you again for being a good host. Again, people, if they want to drop off some toys in your locations, drop off some toys for the Marines to get to the kids.
Sure, we'll be here.
And your locations, you know what, take a moment. Tell us, I know about Stratham because I'm headed there, Nissan and Stratham, your other locations.
So right here in Manchester, we have Honda, we have Ford, Hyundai, Genesis.
Pretty much in this campus across from the mall in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have Collision Center right here in Manchester.
Yep.
And we also have Volkswagen down in Nashua.
All right. Well, thank you, and you have a good Thanksgiving. You've been a gracious host, and we all appreciate the support, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it, Jack.